Glad to see everyone back this evening. On a day in A.D. 33, three men were to suffer the same fate. Two of them were to lose their lives justly. The other was to be murdered under the guise of lawfulness. The deaths of these three men are read about even today. We find that story in our Bibles. We just sang the song, "Tell Me the Story of Jesus." We're going to relate a part of that tonight concerning that day in A.D. 33. Two of those men that died that day were thieves. The other was the Savior of mankind. And so as we consider this great day in history, the day that Jesus the Christ died upon the cross, let us notice that three men died that day and that each died in a certain condition. The first man, the thief on the cross on the left side of Jesus, died in sin. Mr. Douglas in the New Bible Dictionary defines sin as the failure or error, or iniquity, or transgression, trespass, lawlessness, or unrighteousness. Now, the most characteristic feature of sin in all of its aspects is that it is directed against God. In Psalm 51, verse 4, we read, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." Just giving us a general idea of this concept of sin. 1 John 3 and verse 4 states, "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness." This is the state in which the thief on the left side of Jesus died. He died in sin. What else does the Bible say about sin? Romans 6:23, a verse that I'm sure we're all familiar with. "The wages of sin is death." And we know what a wage is. It's payment for work done. The wages of sin, the payment for sin is death. In Exodus 32. In verse 34 we read, "Now therefore go, lead the people to the place of which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless," notice this now, "in the day when I visit for punishment, I will visit punishment upon them." Why? For their sin. So we're looking at sin. In the condition that thief on the left died in, how will God punish those who are living in sin and who die consequently in sin? In Psalm 55 and verse 15, we read, "Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them." We read in the book of Luke 12 and verse 5, "But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he was killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him." So friends, what about that thief's attitude? What about the condition that he died in? In Matthew 27 and verse 44, we read where this man railed upon Jesus. He reviled Jesus. So we ask the question then, what does it mean to revile? The word revile simply means to speak of another abusively. Can you imagine a man, as that day happened, a man was full of men just as that. He had just gone, Jesus had just gone through a kangaroo court, and they railroaded him and sending him to the cross. They all railed on him. They all reviled him. But here this man is about to die. And here is a man claiming to be the Son of God on a cross next to him, and still, within his heart, he speaks evilly of Jesus. "Why don't you save us?" he says. if you're really the Son of God. Do you see the attitude this man had even at death? No doubt. There is no doubt whatsoever this man died in sin. And then we move to the middle. Christ, who was in the center, died for sin. The man on the left died in sin. Christ died for sin. As we consider that, friends, why was Christ so willing to go to the cross? Why was He so willing to put Himself on that cross? John 4 and verse 34. Notice what John writes here. Jesus said unto them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." What did Jesus say upon the cross? "It is finished." What's finished? His work. He had fulfilled what He had come to this earth to do. We read in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Paul writing here says, "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places." Notice this. "According to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." Friends, it was eternally purposed that He die upon the cross for the remission of our sins. That He establish His church. And friends, He was also willing to go because of His love for you and me. You know, sometimes, you know, someone might ask the question, what held Jesus on the cross? Friends, it wasn't the nails. It was His love for mankind. His willingness to restore mankind to that covenant relationship with God. Notice John, 1 John 3:16. John writes, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren." Notice that He laid His life down. Ephesians 5 and verse 2, "And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, and offering a sacrifice to God." Christ went to the cross for this purpose. Christ went to the cross to conquer sin. 1 John 3 and verse 5, we read, "And you know that He was manifested," notice this part, "He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin." There is no sin. See, a perfect man had sin in the garden. And so logically to follow then, in order for us to be saved, in order for man to be restored to that relationship with God, a perfect man had to die. And we find that in Jesus Christ. In Him there is no sin. And we read in Matthew 1 and verse 21, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call His name Jesus." Why? "For He shall save His people from their sins." That was His purpose. That's the reason that He came to this earth. We read in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, "For I delivered to you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Friends, if Christ had shed no blood at the cross, if Christ had not shed His blood at the cross, friends, there would be no remission. The Hebrews writer tells us as much. Without blood, there is no remission. He had to shed His blood. Someone asked the question then, well, did Christ have to die on the cross for us? Well, yes and no. If we want to be saved, then it's a resounding yes. He had to die upon the cross. There was no other way. He had to die upon the cross, Hebrews 9 and verse 22. Notice what the Hebrews writer says. "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission." So friends, if we want to be saved, if we want to have the remission of our sins, then Christ had to die on the cross. However, notice John 10, 17 through 18, John 10, 17 through 18, "Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again." Notice now what He's saying here. He lays down his life. Notice now the next phrase, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Did Jesus have to die on the cross? Friends, he had the power to come down. He had the power to call 10,000 angels. He had the power to destroy this world right then and there, and yet he stayed upon that cross. Why? Because he loved me. He loved you. Christ died that man might have hope and peace with God. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, 13 verse 11 rather, finally brethren, farewell, Paul writes. Become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace be with you. Friends, we are able to have hope today, because Jesus died upon that cross. What about the thief that was on the cross on the right side? You know, we read in the Bible as well that not only did the thief on the left revile Jesus, but the thief on the right had done the same thing at one time, but that was before they got to the cross. Before they actually made it there. Now, what was the attitude of this thief? We see a complete change. Here was a man, he was just like his partner in crime. We cannot deny that. And Matthew 27 and verse 44, as well as Mark 15 and verse 32, say, both of those scriptures tell us that both thieves reviled Jesus. So how did the thief on the left die in sin while the thief on the right died to sin? What was the difference? There's a thief on the right had a change of heart. He had a change of attitude. He came to a realization. It seems that the cold fingers of death had finally gripped him, and he decided that a change needed to be made. And so he made that change. We don't know why, but he did. Luke 23, beginning in verse 39. Luke records, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, saying, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then said he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You see the change in the man. Whatever it was that made him change, I'm glad that it did. We learn a valuable lesson from him. We see that Christ forgave this thief. Luke 23 and verse 43, and Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Friends, Christ had the power to forgive. No doubt about that. There are some in the world today that say that they cite this particular instance to say, well, you know, baptism isn't necessary because the thief was not baptized. Number one, doesn't the scripture say that all Judea went out to John to be baptized of him? You show me where the thief was not a part of that all Judea. Number two, under what law did the thief live? Had lived under the old law. And so Jesus had the power to forgive. Luke 5 verse 24. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Christ had the power to forgive. And so he was able to say to that thief, today you will be with me in paradise. The thief on the right side died to sin rather than in it as his partner in crime had done. Friends, we need to die to sin just as this thief did. But friends, we need to realize that we cannot die to sin just like he did. Why not? We just talked about it a little bit. But as we look at this, we see that Christ took the old law. When we read the New Testament, we see that Christ took the old law, which this thief was living under, with him to the cross. Notice Colossians 2 and verse 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements, or ordinances, the King James says, that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. See, friends, Jesus, when he died upon the cross, he nailed that old law there. We no longer live under that, but we live under the New Testament, the new law. When we look at the old law versus the new law, friends, we realize that we are indeed living under a new law which not only requires faith and repentance, but also confession and baptism. Both laws demanded obedience. In order to do everything, I mean, you had to obey the old law to the letter to be right with God. Well, friends, the new law requires obedience as well. Both laws required obedience, and so it is obedience to the law, which we are under, then, that enables us, enables one, to die to sin. The man on the right side of the cross repented, and so the Lord forgave under the old law. Friends, if we are to obey the gospel today, we must do what the new law requires. We've looked thus far at dying to, dying for, and dying in sin. We know we cannot die for sin because we are not Jesus. Only He was the Messiah. Only He lived that perfect life. So we cannot die for sin. And so, friends, that leaves us two choices. We can die in sin, or we can die to sin. What will it be? Do you remember what the man said who saved the younger man's life after that young man said, "Thank you"? The older man said, "That's all right, kid. Just make sure your life was worth saving." Friends, let me ask you, has your life been worth saving? Or did Christ die in vain for you? Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. Be ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. And where do you find yourself tonight? Are you living in sin? And if that's the case, would you die in sin? Friends, if you don't want to die in sin, then there are certain things required of you. As we talked about at the end of our lesson, one must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that the New Testament tells us what we must do to meet those requirements. If we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, John 3 and verse 16 tells us as much. If we're willing to repent of our sin, Luke 13 and verse 3, if we're willing then to confess Him before men, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And friends, we can't miss the last part. Not only must we believe, repent, and confess, but friends, we must also be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. We talked about the blood of Jesus. It is only in the water that we come in contact with that blood. It is through baptism that we come in contact with that death. Would you be baptized? Would you obey His gospel this evening? Would you die to sin? Friend, are you here this evening? Having done those things necessary to be added to the Lord's church, to become a Christian, have you fallen away? Would you die to sin? Or would you die in sin? Friends, the choice is yours. If you have a need, would you come while we stand and while we sing?